Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 331, recorded on May 12th, 2017. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I am Michael Johnston, and with me, as always, is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hi, Adam. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Sweet.
I'm going to shut down apps quickly.
You're shutting down your apps?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Shut them all down, except for Skype.
Skype is being weird.
Don't shut down Skype.
Giving us troubles.
We need that one open. Jeff Gamet's also here from the Mac Absorber. Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
And I am not shutting down Skype.
Good.
And I'm doing well.
Good. So, yeah. Apple sent out press invites for WWDC 2017, the keynote being June 5th, held in San Jose, correct?
You guys all got yours, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they love me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny. I'm actually going out to WWDC this year without a pass and don't have a media pass to go to the keynote either. So I'll just go hang out with the AltConf crew.
With the unpopular kids?
No, there's a lot of really popular kids.
I think those are the more popular kids.
That's what they tell themselves.
And I'm going to totally buy into it, so I feel better about myself.
There you go. Maybe you guys... Wait, Adam, you're going up too?
No.
Okay. Maybe Jeff will come down and see me.
It depends on the timing. If I can make it work, I will come down and see you.
All right, we'll talk. Yes, it's in San Jose. Is this earlier than normal?
Which weekend is it?
It's like early June. It is
June 5th.
The 11th or the 4th?
The 5th.
Oh, yeah, that is a little early.
Yeah.
I think. Isn't it normally the next week?
No, I'm talking about when they send out the invites. Is that normal?
Oh,
yeah, the invites.
They usually come like a week. And not that it really matters, but yeah. So we got the WWDC keynote coming. That's cool. And
no one freaking cares.
Nobody cares. Yeah. But one thing people do care about is Amazon Prime Video potentially being announced at WWDC during
people
the keynote.
Massively care about that.
People super care about that. And you know what? They're not dum-dums for caring about that, because I care about that too. And it's a pain in the butt to have to airplay your shit to the box.
How much do you watch on Amazon Prime Video? I'm just curious.
I would watch a slight amount more if it was on my box. And I would watch maybe that again much more if the Prime Video thingy worked within the TV app.
You think so?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I watch.
Because I'm too lazy to remember to watch my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be reminded that there's stuff that I like to watch instead of just mindlessly looking around YouTube, you know? So I want my TV app to tell me, and I also want my black box to tell me. And it's a good idea that they're doing that now. So good on you, Amazon.
It's a really good idea. And regardless of how much we may or may not watch on Amazon Prime, this is a big deal, because once Amazon Prime is available on Apple TV, that's the only box that has all the services.
And then you can buy an Apple TV on Amazon Prime for what it's worth. It makes things more accessible. So that's good for both sides.
I'm not disputing or dismissing that. What I want to find out from you and maybe people in our audience and things like that, because I really do try with Amazon Prime. So I'm excited for it to come. I think it's a great thing. But here's when I am sitting down at night getting ready to watch something, I've kind of fallen into this pattern now where I will check HBO, because I have HBO Go.
Yeah.
For now. HBO Now.
Whichever.
That's a brand new issue right there.
You pay straight for HBO. But I'll go in there to see, is there any new movies that have been released because they released them, you know, whenever, and is it something I'm interested in watching? Then I often will pop over to Netflix because I have tons of stuff in the queue there. That's where I watch most of my stuff. And then inevitably I'm in Netflix poking around going, I don't see anything I really like want to watch. Yeah, maybe. Hey, I'll check Amazon. And then, because I always kind of forget about Amazon. So I'll go check Amazon Prime and it doesn't have anything. Like, it's all just garbage on there.
Amazon Prime, except for original content, is crap.
Yeah, I was going to say the only thing I'm really interested in is the original content.
With the exception of Orphan Black, because that's on Amazon Prime, but not on Netflix.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, the thing is that, like, they have... And even Netflix is getting more and more like this. My latest new problem with Netflix is they have too much freaking original content on Netflix, and I don't know about any of it. And it seems like every week they release like 27 new Amazon original like programs. You guys notice that? It's like all original programming now, and they basically killed their contracts with everybody else. So slowly they're like, archive content or other content is becoming just as bad as Amazon's, it feels like.
I thought that it was the studios killing the contracts with Netflix as opposed to Netflix killing them.
Well, the contracts are not being renewed. So either Amazon's not playing or the studios are not letting them play. I don't know which. And some of the original programming is great, but the problem I'm having with Amazon is it's too overwhelming. It's like too much. I don't know what to like even look at over there.
Yeah. Well, like, I'm
feeling
stuff,
like overwhelmed.
The problem is the original content always tends to feel a little, you know, subpar.
Direct to video?
Yes. And, yeah. And in a lot of situations, you know what you want to watch. So, like, if you want to watch Fringe, for example, you used to be able to watch that on Netflix, but now you can't because who knows? So, yeah, those sorts of things, that's
very confusing. So,
and it's a bummer.
So, here's the thing, because the other thing that I often forget about, but I'm using more and more, and this will bring it back to the point of this show. Apple's TV app, and for dang sure, if Amazon does wind up on Apple TV, they also need to make sure that they're supporting the TV app, because I'm finding more and more stuff through the TV app because I don't have to open like 27 different individual apps to figure out what I want to find. It's kind of awesome. When it works, it's awesome. The problem is still not enough stuff is integrated with it. Although more and more stuff keeps popping up, service that I occasionally, very, very occasionally will find a movie to watch on is Crackle, which is Sony's thing.
That's pretty surprising.
Huh.
And they added TV app support. So now because I had totally uninstalled the Crackle app because a lot of it was just really bad and it was so random that I would ever find anything on there. But once every 6 months or so, something would pop up. You know, some old movie that they added or something like that that's in the Sony back catalog. And I'm like, oh, I want to watch that again. So now that stuff pops in the TV app and it's kind of awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So I guess the idea, what you have to do is download, for example, the Crackle app. You download it once.
What I'm saying is you download
the app. And then once the TV app recognizes that you have access to that service, then regardless of if you have the app installed on, you know, your particular device, it will suggest that content for you as being available for free. And then you can just press it and it says, oh, you got to install Crackle. And, you know, you just go.
Or, yeah, does it work? Does it work like that? What I've done is, you remember how we used to have, before Apple would allow us to delete their built-in apps, the sort of Apple Siberia?
mine was called Ruapente.
I've started to create a like TV-supported app Siberia. So yeah. Like the apps that are supported by the TV app go into this little folder like on the fourth like way off. I never have to see this app because I'm never going to open the app kind of screen.
Yeah, the TV app supported don't look at it ever again app.
That's really smart.
But it's true. But every once in a while, like I said, Crackle, it's a weird service, but they'll have like,
Crackle's, you know, real weird.
Some old back catalog movie that's like from the 80s or 90s.
Like, and I'm like, you can watch Wild Things. It's a Crackle thriller. It's
is that an original series? No.
No, it doesn't. It's it stars Kevin Bacon, Neve Campbell.
Yeah. That's an old Bill Murray movie, though. That wouldn't be what I would watch.
No, I'm just saying it's one of those like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, Insidious. That's similar to the
back catalog content you get on Netflix and Amazon, too. And can someone explain to me why they never have the original version of a movie? They always have like two. Like if it's a trilogy or a multi-series thing, it's always,
I don't know that anybody could explain that to you. That's a phenomenon of the universe. That's a philosophical question.
I think it's a crappy licensing question.
Well, there's that.
I have this theory that the studios are somehow under the false impression that if I see, the second movie in a series that I'll somehow go and pay to watch the first.
Oh, one. Yeah. You know what? I bet that's what that is. Maybe in the same vein as like when they pull like Groundhog Day, a week before the actual Groundhog Day. And then when it rolls around, you're like, oh, man, I want to watch that movie. And then you realize
Disney is notorious for that also. seasonal movies, they pull.
Yeah, all God, that's such BS.
Yep.
BS. All right. Apple acquired Bedit, which is vaguely interesting because of all the health stuff that they're investing in, especially with the Apple Watch.
I hope they don't stop making the Bedit sensors.
It doesn't seem
like it's a bomb.
It doesn't seem like they want to. So the way that we figured this out really is that Apple or Bedit, well, both, updated the privacy policy on the Bedit page saying that Bedit has been acquired by Apple. Your personal data will be collected, used, and disclosed in accordance with the Apple privacy policy. So it seems as though Apple wants to continue selling the Bedit sleep accessory and probably keep the branding going and I would assume use the anonymized data for sleep research and improving things, yada yada. So integrating more sleep tracking as part of HealthKit.
Yeah, the Bedit sensor, that's the one that I use. And it's fantastic. I mean, it tracks your motion in bed really well. It tracks your respiration. It lets you know if you're snoring, and it's surprisingly good. It's the best sleep tracking system, consumer sleep tracking system that I found. And I have the Bedit 2. I think Bedit 3 is what's out right now, and. Yeah. It's really good.
It doesn't seem like something Apple would like continue on with, does it?
No, it doesn't, and that's why I'm concerned. All the hardware. Stuff that you do with the Bedit apps, I can totally see Apple just being really wound up and excited about that. But the hardware itself, not so much. And that bums me out.
Wasn't the hardware thing
that's
isn't the hardware thing what ties it all together and well not ties it all together but really makes it possible, right? You're not going to get all this biometric data.
No, you're not going to get any of it.
You gotta have the thing. You gotta have the strip.
Yeah. Without that strip sensor on your bed, it's really not an effective system.
Yeah. So I would imagine that. See, I can't see Apple selling an Apple branded sleep accessory, basically rebranding the strip thing. I don't see that.
They
right
could
now.
Do like they've done with Beats.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I envision for this. I don't think if Apple just wanted this app, I don't think the value is there. I think the value is in the combination of the hardware and the software. So I think they're going to keep it the way it is for now, and maybe roll some features into the watch. And I know that there are apps that work with the Apple Watch to help you track your sleep. And I think you've used some of those, right, Adam or Jeff?
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah.
So. I'm sorry if you're a developer that wrote an Apple Watch sleep tracker, but I am nonplussed. You need a dedicated sensor system like Beddit.
But good effort.
Yeah, I appreciate the effort. And for people that are just looking for a simple thing that that wakes them up, you know, on a more variable schedule, okay, great, go for it. But if you want to really track your sleep, you need a higher end system.
You're talking about the wake me up at the opportune time deal?
Yes.
Michael said wake me up, and all I thought was wake me up before you.
That's what I was about to say, honestly.
The funny thing is that's right where my head was, hence my very small stutter as I was answering.
Yeah. And then I, of course, think about that scene in Zoolander with the Orange Julius and the gasoline fight.
Oh, my God. Is it wrong of me to think of Zoolander as a comedy masterpiece?
It is kind of a masterpiece.
I'm not talking like Mona Lisa and Eiffel Tower.
I don't think any comedy, anything is going to be in the same echelon as the Mona Lisa. But as far as comedy stuff goes, yeah, masterpiece would not be.
It's a pretty brilliant movie.
Yeah, it's good. It's got a lot of good stuff going for it. All right, so that's Beddit. iPhone 8 rumors. The one that we get every year is everything's on track, and that's the one we're talking about today. So according to Mecca Takara and Ming-Chi Kuo, he believes Apple is going to debut the iPhone edition in September, and the supplies are going to be primed for October sales, basically, which is what we get pretty much every year with the new flagship phone. You guys buy
there
it?
There
you
go.
You buy it? Or you think it's going to be even more constrained, like AirPods style?
I'm afraid it's going to be more like AirPods style.
I'm kind of feeling...
It's going to be nasty bad.
I'm feeling AirPods style. But the thing is, so you think it's a constraint based on...
worse than AirPods style.
Well, it's probably because it's going to be a heck of a lot of demand, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Fueled by demand, epic demand. On top of the fact that...
Epic demand and epic short supply.
Yes, yeah. Perfect storm of you're not getting that phone for a while.
Yeah.
So just, you know, keep your clicking fingers limber if you really want to get one of those...
I'm afraid that so many people know the trick now about ordering from the iOS app that we won't be able to do that either.
I have forgotten about that trick.
Oh, well, now you know, so you can give it a shot.
Okay. I might have remembered it at some point, but yeah, now I do remember that.
Also, double check your Apple Pay and have that input and ready.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was a problem for me, I think 2 years ago. And somehow.
You may even want to try to buy just like a simple accessory like that morning just to make sure your Apple Pay is totally working inside the app.
Yeah, just to order yourself a new
cable or something.
Lightning to 3.5 millimeter headphone jack adapter.
No,
because you're going to need it anyhow.
No, here's what you really want to get is a lightning to micro USB. That's a worthy accessory to have around, because then you can do what Dave does, which is he just kind of lets his, because cables junk out at some point. Just use cheap micro USBs. Right? I like that tip.
Sure.
Yeah. iPhone 8 renders. So we talked about the engineering drawings that were leaked through OnLeaks, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's who did that. So some ambitious individual decided to actually mock it up in some CAD tool.
Now, okay, so when we say OnLeaks and you say some ambitious individual, that's like totally downplaying this, because OnLeaks is the guy that gets the real stuff. He's the guy that gets the actual CAD rendering files and then builds out his graphics from those. And he has a really solid track record, not just with Apple, but with other phone makers as well, of getting totally legit, accurate images out ahead of the official launch. So when OnLeaks shows an iPhone rendering, that's what when I've decided I've seen what it's really going to be.
Okay. So, but to clarify, you're saying he's getting actual like CAD files and opening them up in, you know,
and working with those
or whatever, and actually you know, putting out the render.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, he gets the real stuff.
Yeah, if you look through his Twitter page, there's a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, he has some really cool stuff, and I like that when someone asks him a question about a rendering, like, you know, when someone says, "Hey, well, what about this thing right here?" Instead of doing what a lot of other render leakers do, which is explain to you why it's that way, he's just like, "I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me, but that's what the CAD file has." So there you go.
Huh.
Yeah, so like the screen is going to have rounded corners instead of square like we currently have. And someone asked him about that, and he's like, "I can't wait to see what Apple does with that, because sure doesn't make sense to me."
Sure doesn't?
No, I mean, if you look at your iPhone screen right now,
squared off.
It's all square edges. And on the iPhone 8, those are going to be curved edges.
Rounded with the corners.
Yes. Thank you. Rounded corner edges. Which
Steve,
I think,
loved the rounded corners.
God, the corners.
Oh, yeah.
Corners.
So get a little Steve Love going
rounded,
on there.
Rounded Rex.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
So I think it'll look nice, but it's going to be quite a change from what we're used to seeing.
Well, you know, what's funny is Mac OS, I think it went from when we went from Tiger to Leopard, Tiger had basically chopped off, you know, rounded corners around the screen border. But of course, it was just not using several pixels around the screen. Mm-hmm. And then they decided to go to just using them all. Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, yeah. Well, that's...
I guess some apps will have to be reworked so that whatever part of the image would be lost in the squared-off corner is accounted for.
Not too many things get that close to the edge, right?
Probably not, but there's probably some games, at least, where if you can't get like all the way into the corner, you can't move completely. I don't know.
I think that
I don't know,
most,
the thing looks nice.
I think most
I think
of
it
the
looks, it's sexy.
Most of the apps that would be affected by the rounded corner probably shouldn't be doing what they're doing.
All right, I'll accept that.
The camera bump looks funky. That's the only thing.
The camera bump looks funky. And I
looks like it's just like in a separate piece kind of globbed on.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's just because of the way he rendered out the reflection, or if it really looks like someone glued a hump onto the phone.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's that. It could be the, you know, the way that he rendered it, or it could be the age of the, you know, the vintage of the file used. It could be something that has been mitigated.
Well, I think it's because, like, if you look at the black phone, this looks like it has a similar, like they tried to match the style on the camera bump that the phone itself had with the like chrome metal band around it. Whereas if you look at your current iPhone camera bump, it's the same color as the device is colored, so it doesn't kind of stand out. So I'm not sure how I feel about it. I kind of like it. I kind of like how it matches the styling, but it does accentuate like the visibility of the bump. Like it doesn't fade into the back of the phone. And in some ways, from a design perspective, that's almost better. Like just acknowledging, yeah, we have a camera bump. Deal with it.
Yeah.
I'm just watching it rotate. I'll put all the videos and fun stuff in the show notes. There was something else. Those leaked back panels that everybody is saying for iPhone 7S or iPhone SE. What do you guys think about those? They look almost like they're for the iPhone edition. Except they have the different camera situation.
I saw somewhere, and I can't remember where, that those are actually for a different phone, but completely different manufacturer.
With an Apple logo and it says iPhone on it?
Yeah, like someone photoshopped that in.
Oh.
I think I read that also.
Actually, I think OnLeaks has something about it too.
OnLeaks said kind of first glimpse at the iPhone 8 ? So maybe it's an early version of the back panel.
Yeah, and then look later into a stream or more recently into a stream, and I think there's something else about him saying, oh, nope, not so. It's this other complete, it's a piece from an Android phone.
Oh, he's saying that it looks similar to what we are expecting for the edition. But it's, oh, okay. Seems like it is in fact a Photoshop 360 smartphone rear panel.
There we go. You know, it would probably help if I actually had his Twitter stream open because I could have looked that up and just told you exactly what it was.
I got your back.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, okay, there's that, you know, I trust this guy. And I like this story about, according to Strategy Analytics, the iPhone remained the world's most popular smartphone last quarter, which kind of surprised me because I thought that wasn't a thing anymore. I thought it was Android.
Android as a whole.
Yeah, of course. But
when you look at individual device makers, that's where the iPhone can be the top seller over Android phones.
Yep, that explains it. And I think the same situation was going on last year. And, you know, it's not a big surprise when you look at your iMessages and you look through how many people do I have in here that are green bubbles. You know, when I'm walking around campus, how many people do I see with not iPhones? It's not that many.
Yeah, people love their iPhones.
That's good. That's good for iMessages. Although I would like to bring up one thing. Have you guys ever experienced a delay with SMS texting on your iPhone? I've had this thing for maybe a year, maybe more, where SMS texts are delayed, particularly like when coming in, especially in like group chats, typically in SMS group chats. So like a text sent to a group comes in maybe 2 hours later. something like that. It's really odd. If you know, if you've experienced that, send us an email, feedback@theiosshow.com. Something I've noticed. And then I guess the last thing we have here is that there's a Mother's Day activity challenge that it's now visible. It only works on Mother's Day. But you need to finish a 1 mile workout of walking, running, cycling, or what is it? Wheeling? What's the word for that? Wheelchair workout.
Wheelchair workout.
There you go. Of a mile or more on Mother's Day, and you get this nice little rose medallion.
Cool.
And a sticker. So that should be pretty easy on Sunday.
Yeah. Go out and walk with your mom.
Yeah.
If your mom isn't around, find someone that seems lonely. Walk with them.
Find someone's mom. Find a mom and walk with her. And explain to her you're doing it because your phone told you to.
That'll make him feel really happy.
Really happy and not weirded out.
Right.
Actually, they probably, depending on the age, they may just say, oh, these kids and their phones. And it won't even be a thing. They'll just assume it's totally normal, which is cool. So, unless you guys have anything else to talk about, I think we should move to our picks. Picks? All right, Jeff.
Okay.
Jeff, what's your pick?
My pick is, it's actually wallpapers for your iPhone and iPad. So Ged Mayhew from Icon Factory.
Oh.
Yes. He made some Twin Peaks wallpapers for the iPhone and iPad. And they're fantastic. I love how they look. And since Twin Peaks, the new season after 20 years is starting later this month. It's pretty cool that he's put together some wallpapers. So he has sizes for several different size devices, and yeah, they just look great, and they're free.
Nice. So
Twin Peaks, awesome graphics for your iPhone and iPad.
Cool, and they're free. All right,
and they're free.
Adam, what's your pick?
I'm actually going to go with something I mentioned earlier, and that is the Crackle app. But I'm not going to just leave you high and dry, because you know I'll give you content, a reason to download it for content. And I'm only half joking on this one, but apparently it has every...
Angel Eyes with Jennifer Lopez? Is that what you're going to pick?
Scorpion King movie.
Oh,
including the original one with The Rock, but apparently they made 5 of them.
Holy crap.
Seriously?
What? I assume they made
The Rock. If it doesn't have The Rock, it doesn't count.
Does it have The Rock in every one?
No. He's only in the first one, which was still terrible.
Yeah. Well, it's apropos, though, because Tom Cruise is coming back as the Mummy Man, right?
I know. But no. Really, there is some good stuff. Some stuff worth watching on here. Like I said, every once in a while, they'll throw something on there. I like, believe it or not, I do like and enjoy the Charlie's Angels movie, which is on here, but mostly just because Crispin Glover.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was in that movie.
Yeah. Creepy Thin Man. He's awesome in it.
Did you say Creepy Thin Man?
Gattaca and Full Metal Jacket are on here.
Gattaca's good.
Oh, wow.
Gattaca's a good movie.
Full Metal Jacket, when that came out, holy crap, what an amazing movie.
Yeah.
Do they have the net on here?
So here's a bit of trivia for you. If you're a fan of Daredevil on Netflix, or if you're a fan of Emerald City, which is... I don't know, what is that, CBS, NBC? In Daredevil, the Kingpin character, and then in Emerald City, the character of the wizard, those are both played by Vincent D'Onofrio. Mm-hmm. And he is one of the soldiers in Full Metal Jacket.
Nice. Yep.
Stand By Me is also on here. So there's some good stuff in here. And I'm interested to see, there's actually an original, Krakow original TV series. I have not watched it yet. Based on Snatch, which I love that movie. That's a great movie. And it has Rupert Grint as one of the main characters in the TV version of Snatch. I don't know if it's any good or not, but I'm willing to watch it just because it has Ron Weasley in it.
That's reason enough to watch right there.
Okay. All right. So your pick is Crackle.
Yeah, but more just some of the content that's on there. I will be honest. It's an infinitely annoying and really badly designed app that has, you know, with a lot of the content having ads, because that's why it's free.
So I'm going to put down that your pick is the Crackle app and all the Scorpion King movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, God.
So my pick this week, and we couldn't confirm if there's an iOS app of this. There should be, but it's Nuke Map. It's a really cool little web app that if you're ever, you know, you have one of those paranoid nights where you're sitting around drinking, you know, wine and bourbon with your friends, and then the topic of, you know, what happens if we get bombed by such and such people, you know, are we going to be safe? Because you think, oh, I'm in San Luis Obispo. No, they're not going to drop a bomb on San Luis Obispo, but they might on Bakersfield or Fresno. What's the deal? Are we going to be good if we just hang out here, or should we go somewhere? So, you know, it's kind of like a dark, fun thing to play with. But it is very fascinating because they use, you know, basic physics and an understanding of what happens with, you know, the pressure waves and the fallout and all that stuff. And then you can actually, you know, you can choose where you want to drop a bomb and enter in the yield. And it's actually kind of fascinating to just look through. Have you guys looked through this thing?
Yeah, considering where I live, I started checking it and strategizing, last November.
Fair. Yeah, I mean, it's like, it has practical applications, right? But also, you know, vague entertainment applications. And it is educational, too, because you get to see, you know, you can pick the yields and kilotons. So you can actually type in a kiloton yield, but you can also look through a list of, you know, here's what the average yield is, or here's what you know, Fat Man or Gadget yield was, or here's, you know, the absolutely biggest one that was ever made or tested. And then you can drop that on whatever city and say, oh, okay, well, even that wouldn't do anything, and you can alter winds and all these kinds of things. So it's a very fascinating little simulator to play with.
And Jeff found the same knockoff app that I found on the App Store.
Yeah, what do you got? You sent it to the Skype, right?
Yeah, it's called Blast Map. You can pick it up for free.
Blast Map. All right. Does it look like it would work? I'll just include that as a.
Yeah,
it looks very similar to all the things you were describing. You can enter in kilotons. It has a couple different modes. You can look at fallout radiation or just blast area or all those sorts of things. So,
cool. It looks like it has a decent rating. So I'll say, you know, Blast Map is kind of, if you want to play with it on your phone, check out Blast Map. It's free. And with that, you can find the picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes. Tell a friend. Send your feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com if you have any questions or comments or feedback about the show. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com, Adam Christensen. He's at the Mattcast, mattcast.com, the Mattcast podcast, and at Mattcast on Twitter and pretty much everywhere else, because he's, you know, he's about that branding.
Yep.
Right? That's smart.
It's all about the Mattcast.
Yeah. Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer every day and every night. MacObserver.com. And the TMO Daily Observations podcast, it's weekly, and it's awesome. And
he's I'm even on one from this past week, so you got to go check it out.
Cool.
And yeah, Michael, you're welcome to join me too if you want.
Well, you're welcome to ask me. I mean,
okay.
Well,
we'll have to figure out the timing, because I think that you're typically spoken for
by other institutions.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, hit me up. I'm happy to do it. At JGamet on Twitter. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. So we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.